This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, Alhamdulillah, Wassalatu Wassalamu ala Rasulillah. We're going to start Hadith 4 today from Al-Imam An-Nawawi's 40 Hadith. The objectives of this lesson are, number one, we're going to look at the creation of the human and its stages. Number two, we're going to look at the writing and recording of the angel. The angel that comes, what does it record? We're going to look at that. And finally, number three, we're going to look at a very important concept in Islam. It's called deeds by their endings. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالْخَوَاتِيمِ. In other words, how you end is what is most important. We're going to look at that very important concept today in Al-Islam. Now let's start with the creation of the human. So let's start with the narration of the hadith itself. An Abi Abdurrahman Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. This is hadith 4. Radiallahu anhu qal, Haddathana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallama wa huwa as-sadiq al-masduq. He said, the messenger of Allah narrated to us, and he is the most truthful and the most trusted. So he is Sadiq, him in of itself. He is truthful, and he is al-masduq, the one who is believed in, the most trusted. In other words, we trust Rasulullah more than we trust ourselves. If he said something, believe it, even if you don't understand. And that's how the Sahaba were. Why is he saying this? Based on this very important hadith. He's going to talk about the creation of the human. He's going to look at the creation of man. The Prophet ﷺ is giving them information that they have never been exposed to before. These were Arabs in the desert who most could not read and write. They didn't have the modern means of science that we have today. So he's going to say things about the embryonic development that they had no idea about. Therefore, he's saying, you better believe what I'm about to tell you, what I'm about to narrate. That's what he's telling us. In other words, he's warming us up for what is to come. He said, "Inna ahadakum," and he started with "Inna." Inna in Arabic, tufid izalat ash-shak. It removes doubts. When you hear inna in the Quran and Sunnah, Allah is using it to remove doubts. In other words, Allah Ta'ala is telling you, you better believe what I'm about to tell you. Don't doubt it. Inna ahadakum yujma'u khalquhu fi batni ummihi 40 yawman nutfa. That every single one of you are brought together in the womb of his mother, or in the womb of their mother, for a period of 40 days as a nutfa, as a drop of water. ثُمَّ يَكُونُ عَلَقَةً مِثْلَ ذَلِكَ. Then it transforms into a alaqa. And the word ثُمَّ indicates it's not straight away. It takes a bit of time. Turned into a alaqa. We're going to get into the details of what all this means in a moment. ثُمَّ يَكُونُ مُضْغَةً مِثْلَ ذَلِكَ. Then it transforms into a mudgha. ثُمَّ يُرْسَلُ إِلَيْهِ الْمَلَكُ. Then an angel is sent to him or her. يَنْفُخُ فِيهِ الرُّوحِ. Blows the spirit into that embryo. وَيُؤْمَرُ بِأَرْبَعِ كَلِمَاتٍ. And it's ordered to write down four things. What are they? بِكَتْبِ رِزْقِهِ. Number one, their provision. وَأَجَلِهِ, their lifespan. وَعَمَلِهِ, and their deeds. وَشَقِيٌ أَوْ سَعِيدٌ. Are they going to be miserable or blessed? In other words, in the hereafter. Are they going to enter hellfire or are they going to enter paradise? فَوَاللَّهِ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ غَيْرُهُ. I swear by Allah, the one who none deserves to be worshipped but He. إِنَّ أَحَدَكُمْ لَيَعْمَلُ بِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ حَتَّى مَا يَكُونَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَهَا إِلَّا ذِرَاعٌ فَيَسْبِقُ إِلَيْهِ الْكِتَابُ فَيَعْمَلُ بِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ النَّارِ فَيَدْخُلُهَا.
A person, or one of you, would be doing the deeds of the people of paradise until there is nothing between him and it except a handspan. And the book overtakes him, qadr overtakes him, and they start to do the deeds of the people of, not paradise now,
Jahannam,
hellfire, and they start to do those deeds, the people of hellfire that is, and they enter it. SubhanAllah. Imagine that. Person is doing deeds of the people of paradise up until the last moments, they start to do the deeds of the people of hellfire, thus they enter the hellfire. SubhanAllah. However, never lose hope, because the opposite is also true. He said, وَإِنَّ أَحَدَكُمْ لَيَعْمَلُ بِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ النَّارِ حَتَّى مَا يَكُونَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَهَا إِلَّا ذِرَاعٌ فَيَسْبِقُ عَلَيْهِ الْكِتَابِ فَيَعْمَلُ بِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ فَيَدْخُلُهَا. A person could be doing the deeds of the people of hellfire until there is nothing between him and it except a handspan also. However, Qadr overtakes, the book overtakes, and they start to perform the deeds of the people of Jannah, paradise. And thus they enter paradise. SubhanAllah. Rawah al-Bukhari wa Muslim. This hadith was narrated and recorded by Al-Imam al-Bukhari and Al-Imam Muslim. Very important hadith. So, let's start with the creation of the human and its stages. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam started by saying that we are combined in the womb of our mothers in a period of 40 days. Now the scholars differed. Does this mean altogether it's 40 days? Or is it each period is 40 days? Allahu alam. There's a difference of opinion and we won't get into that now. But let's just look at the stages. The stages that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us, 6th century Arab man in the desert, doesn't have a PhD in science, doesn't have a doctorate in medicine. He's giving us explicit details of embryonic development. The first stage is what? Nutfa. Good. Stage one, nutfa. Now the nutfa literally is a drop of water or something which has little water in it. It's sometimes called a sperm drop and so forth. So it's something which is a fluid, in other words. Drop of water, a drop of fluid. That's how we start. Next, stage two. Alaqa, good. Alaqa. Alaqa has many meanings. The word alaqa came from alaqa. For example, I get a photo. Alaqa Muhammad al-Sura. What did I do? I hung it up. So something which is hung, something which is attached to something else. So it is attached and hung. Allaqa. It's also something which is suspended. So it's attached, but you could be attached to something directly and you could be attached via a bit of a suspension. So it's not just hung, but it's also suspended. It's hanging from it, in other words. And the word alaqa is used for this duda, this type of creature that lives in stagnant water. What is it?
Leech.
A leech. Good. It's called a alaqa, literally. And what does it do? It sucks your blood. An alaqa is used to describe qita'atun min ad-dam al-ghaleedh, a hardened blood clot. So what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam intend? All of them. And that's exactly how the embryo is developed. It starts firstly as a nutfa and then it forms into a alaqa. It looks like a leech-like substance that is attached and suspended in the womb and it's literally filled with blood. And that's the essence of man. The essence of the human is blood. And that's why we know when you lose a lot of blood, you will
die.
So we all start off as a blood clot. And I want you to look at what science has revealed today. Literally, if you look at the alaqa, and the human embryo in that stage, it's exactly as the Prophet ﷺ described. And to see that, you need a microscope. So people say, no, he saw that come out one day with a miscarriage. No. So look at the photos. Yeah, it's a very good book, that one. A Brief Illustrated Guide to Understanding Islam. It gives you some scientific facts and the miracles of Islam. And many years ago in your notes, it says in Europe, they held a big convention, a big conference showing the miracles in the Quran. And they invited non-Muslim doctors and professors and scientists. And they all saw before their very eyes the detailed description of embryonic development in the Quran. And alhamdulillah, many accepted Islam. Among them, Keith Moore, and you'll read some of his notes there. And Maurice Bucayo as well. So how did Rasulullah know that? He wasn't a doctor. SubhanAllah, amazing detail. And all of those meanings hold true. The word alaqa. Alaqa, ajib, ajib. And if you look at the next page, sister, if you, those you have the book, since we're taking it now, the stage three is mudgha. Now, the word mudgha comes from madagha in Arabic. What does madagha mean? Literally, to chew something. To chew is called madagha. Madagha means to chew. A mudra is used for a lump of flesh as well. So it's not just a lump of flesh, but it's also, it looks as though it's been chewed up. And that's the third stage. And that's exactly how the embryo looks at this stage. After the alaqa, it looks like a chewed up piece of flesh. In your notes, it has a picture of gum, which is usually chewed, or even food, if you look at it. And the way the embryo looks at that stage, it's exactly precise. So he didn't just say, قِطْعَ مِنَ اللَّحْمِ. He didn't say a piece of meat, but he went into detail and said, مُضْغَ. It's chewed from مَضَغَ. Look up مَضَغَ in Arabic dictionary. It's literally something chewed. And the Quran also gives us further details. What happens first, the bones or the flesh? Us living in the 21st century, 2015, we still don't know. And Rasulullah gave us details. Anyone know? The bone, good. And then it's... Yeah, okay. Yeah, but after that, what happens? Bones form, and then they are closed with flesh, literally. And I'm sure if I were to ask you, and I should have done this before the class, but describe for me the details of embryonic development. I'm sure most of us wouldn't be able to give all those stages in those details, I'm sure. And it just shows you that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is getting wahi from Allah. And subhanAllah, the more you learn about what he said, and only testifies further to his prophethood. It's only further confirming of his truthfulness, as-sadiq al-mazdur. And he was known as that before prophethood. He was called as-sadiq al-amin, the truthful one, before prophethood. So even before that, now, when the Roman king heard of what this man had to say, Abu Sufyan, about the Prophet Muhammad, that he never lied, he said, he never lied about the people before. Surely he's not going to lie about God. So he even knew, the Roman king, Heraqal, Caesar at the time, he knew that this man was truthful and he knew he was a prophet. And when we get to Sirah, we're going to take that story in detail, inshallah. It's ajib. And I believe that book is online as well. You can download it for free and you can send it. Send it to your contacts, send it to non-Muslim colleagues at work if you know any, or people that you know of who are non-Muslim. And inshallah ta'ala, you never know what can come forth. Great, so we've taken the first part, creation of the human in its stages. Now the recording of the angel. Allah Azza wa Jalla sends an angel that records four things. Firstly, good. Rizq, what's that? So it's written what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, how much you're going to earn. Everything was already recorded. So why fret? Why worry? I'm not going to earn enough money to pay the rent this week. I'm not going to earn enough money next month for the bills. Don't worry. It's already been recorded. Now that doesn't mean that you don't strive for it. You also strive to get your rizq. Now after you're striving, khalas, put your trust in Allah Azza wa Jal. A baby, when it's thrown up into the air, although it's a terrifying experience, it laughs. Why?
Because it knows its protector.
It knows the parent's going to catch it. Likewise, when you're in a terrifying experience, you're worried about something, whether it's your money or otherwise, then have yaqeen and certainty that Allah's mercy will catch you. As Ibn al-Qayyim said, don't worry. And rizq is of two types. There's rizq for your dunya, and rizq for your deen. Rizq for your dunya, in other words, your world, as we said, money, food, provision, drink, etc. And rizq for your religion, meaning your share of your Islamic knowledge, your share of iman. So there's two types of rizq there. The rizq for deen and the rizq for dunya. That's recorded. What else is recorded next? Number two?
Lifespan.
Oh, that's scary. It's recorded already. The exact moment that we're going to die. Your ajal, your lifespan. SubhanAllah. There was once a man who, Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen was telling us, he was in his car waiting to cross the lights or the intersection. And he was waiting for the other car to pass. And the other car was waiting for him to pass. So they're both waiting. And no one made a move. So what happened? They both made a move. They both took off and they crashed. And who died? The person behind the passenger seat. And in that split moment, that split second, he was waiting so he can increase his lifespan. And what happened? It was a means of his death. So no one could postpone and no one can bring forward their lifespan or their death even by a single lahza. If it's meant to happen, it's going to happen. What will be, will be. So just accept it and move on. Umar ibn al-Khattab said, no amount of worry will change the future. No amount of guilt will change the past. Accept things as they are. We just have to get over it. A lot of people, they just worry about the future. No amount of worry will change that. And people are always regretting of the past. No amount of regret will change that. Khalas, alhamdulillah, things happened. We say alhamdulillah. Three. The third thing recorded. Amalihi, good. Your amal, what's that? Your deeds, good. Your deeds are recorded. What type of deeds are you going to perform? What you're going to do? How you're going to pray? How many days you're going to fast? Everything is recorded. Good deeds or bad deeds, and the details of those deeds. This is recorded after those stages. So after we've been created, after the mudghah stage, Allah Ta'ala says, then the angel is sent to blow in the soul. The soul is blown into, and it's recorded. All of these things are recorded. So it depends on the opinion that we go with. If you go off the opinion that each period is 40 days, and this is at the conclusion of 120 days. So after 120 days, 4 months in other words, this is when all this is recorded. That's why, just after the first trimester, good. Therefore, based on that, the rulings of abortion take place. This is where it's very important to understand the rulings of abortion. Here at this stage, it's not like the first stage. To abort now is haram in all cases. All cases. A person can not get an abortion after the first 4 months. No, even that. Even that. All cases. Even that. They say, but what about the mother who's going to die? Many a times, doctors get it wrong. Just yesterday, a brother, when his wife was delivering, look, you have to choose, mother or baby. He goes, what do you mean? One of them is going to die, mother or baby. And he said, no, I'm not going to choose. He said, no, if she delivers, she's going to die. He goes, no, I'm not going to choose. She delivered, she didn't die. And this happens many times. Now, why did they say you're not allowed? Because this is now the soul has been blown. So are they a person now?
Yes.
They are a person. And this is now killing a soul. And in Islam, لا يجوز قتل نفس لإحياء النفس أخرى. This is a very important qaida. Remember that. Very important principle in Islam. Not allowed to kill a soul to save a soul. So let's just say, as father and son in the desert, they've got no food, no water, no provisions. They're both going to die. The father looks towards his son. He goes, looking tasty. He's thinking he's going to, what?
Eat
him up. And is that allowed? Not allowed. So can't go having for roast dinner that night. But we're just giving an example. Of course, that's an extreme example where you're going to kill your son. Therefore, based on, if you go off the, it seems this is the most correct opinion, after 120 days, in other words, 4 months, this is when the soul is blown. And this is the opinion of the majority of scholars. The soul is blown into that person, and all those things are written. And finally, the fourth thing that is written is, what? Are they going to be shaqiyun aw sa'id? Miserable in the hereafter? Where would you be miserable? Hellfire. Aw sa'id, where would you be happy?
Jannah.
So that's what it means. Are you going to go to paradise or hellfire? And as we said, we don't know what's been written, therefore we act. We act. Don't be among those who say, if things are written, why should I do anything? The qadr of Allah. Yeah, remember we took last week, we said the parable 2 weeks ago, the parable of the teacher and the students, if you recall. Who can tell us that parable?
When students have been learning under a specific teacher, he knows what they're going to get in their marks previously to their assessments, and he can privately write it down and then probably once.
Correct. Were the kids forced to fail and pass?
No.
So likewise, Allah has written everything we're going to do, but He didn't force us to do something. Therefore, what happens is going to match what Allah has recorded. So we've taken the recording of the angel. And this tells us something amazing. Allah Azza wa Jalla sends an angel to look after us while we're in the wombs of our mothers. And He also sends angels after us when we have been delivered while we're alive. As Allah Ta'ala says in Surah Ra'd, 4 angels. And Allah Azza wa Jalla sends angels when we die, giving us glad tidings. You know what that tells us? How merciful is Allah Azza wa Jalla?
He's constantly sending us angels upon angels upon angels to look after us in all stages of our lives. In the wombs of our mothers, when we're alive, when we die. When we die, what happens? That's a very scary thing. Everyone should be worried about that moment. And as a human, you will be. But Allah Azza wa Jalla sends angels to give you glad tidings so you don't get scared. Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. Those who say, Allah is my Rabb, He's my Master, He's my Lord. ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. And they are steadfast on that. In other words, they're not Ramadan Muslims. They're not temporary Muslims. They are steadfast on Islam up until their final breath. ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. Istiqamah, very important. What happens? تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. The angels keep on descending in multitudes, saying, أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا. Don't fear, don't worry, don't fret. وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُعَدُونَ. And we give you the great news, good news, glad tidings of paradise that you have been promised. Imagine dying and seeing these amazing, beautiful angels, and they're going to come in a beautiful appearance, saying, don't worry, don't get scared. Rather, for you is paradise. SubhanAllah. This ayah goes on to say, which is in Surah Fussilat, they also say to you, نَحْنُ أَوْلِيَاءُكُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. We have been your awliya, your allies, your supporters in this world and in the hereafter. In the hereafter also, they're going to be your allies, your supporters. On Judgment Day, in paradise, imagine that, hanging out, kicking back with the angels in Jannah. SubhanAllah. That'll be ajeeb. So they'll say to you, نُزُلًا مِّن غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. This is from Allah Azza wa Jalla. This is from His blessings and bounty. Okay, let's go into now. So we've taken the recording of the angel. Now the deeds are by the endings. And we're done. Last point. Deeds are but by the endings. The Prophet ﷺ said, a person can do the deeds of the people of paradise until there's nothing between him and it except a dhira'. And a dhira' literally is, your dhira' is your arm. Nothing between him and it except a hand span. But what happens? The qadr of Allah overcomes him. So he ends up doing the deeds of the people of hellfire and he goes there. Now a person will say, wait a minute, isn't that unjust? How can that happen? A person should not assume the worst of Allah, have good opinions of Allah. It's not as though a person will do the deeds of a people of paradise and then last minute Allah will misguide them. No. Another hadith that explains what the Prophet ﷺ means here. He said, وَيَعْمَلْ فِي مَا يَبْدُ لِلنَّاسِ. He does the deeds of the people of paradise, what appears to the people. It appears that he's doing the deeds of the people of paradise, but what's in their heart? Hypocrisy, nifaq, kufr. Therefore, it's not benefiting them. So it's not as if a person will sincerely do the deeds of the people of paradise and Allah Azza wa Jalla will misguide you at the last minute. No, Allah Azza wa Jalla is more merciful than that. If you are sincerely doing your deeds for the sake of Allah and you really want Jannah, Allah Azza wa Jalla is not going to misguide you at the last moment. Don't worry. But this hadith is scary. It's teaching us that every single day, check your niyyah. Check your heart. Renew the covenant that you have with Allah on a daily basis. Don't become complacent. Don't think, alhamdulillah, I'm a Muslim now, I'm guaranteed Jannah. Don't become complacent as the kuffar have. And how do we explain that? There's actually a hadith mentioned in your notes of the Mujahid. This man was a valiant fighter, killing kuffar left, right and center. One strike of his sword, the kafir's head goes flying right up into the air. This guy was awesome on the battlefield. The Sahaba were amazed. The Prophet ﷺ said, he's in the hellfire. Allahu Akbar. How, Ya Rasulullah? One companion just found this unfathomable. He couldn't believe it. He goes, okay, I'm going to follow that man. He would follow him wherever he went in jihad. One day, this mujahid was injured severely. He couldn't tolerate and bear the pain anymore. So what did he do? He committed suicide. He put his spear into the floor, he put his sword into the sand, and he leapt onto it, committed suicide. That man came back rushing to Rasulullah, and he said, Ashhadu annaka Rasulullah. I bear witness and testify, you are the Messenger of Allah. Why? Why do you say so? He said, that man that you said is in the hellfire, I saw, Ya Rasulullah, that he qatala nafsahu. He killed himself, committed suicide. So what the Prophet ﷺ said, of course, is wahi. So he was doing the deeds of the people of paradise, but what ended up happening? Maybe because there was some dasisa in his heart, some corruption there, some problem, some marad, some sickness, he ends up doing the deeds of the people of hellfire. But the opposite is true, sisters, so don't despair. A person can do the deeds of the people of what? Hellfire. And the same thing happened. They're so close to it. They're going to enter the hellfire, but the book and qadr overtake. They start to do the deeds of the people of paradise and they go to paradise. And we know many examples of that. People are living as kuffar their whole lives. And then alhamdulillah, the final year or the final few months of their life, they accept Islam, they start to do the deeds of righteousness and they go to Jannah. We know many reverts like that. So we can see that even till today, alhamdulillah. So don't despair. Don't despair. So that's deeds are by their endings. Therefore, we conclude by saying what Ibn Taymiyyah said. And wallahi, this statement should be written in gold. He said, it's not about flawed beginnings. It's about great endings. It's not about the beginning. It's rather about the ending, how you end. That's the most important thing. Don't worry about your past. The past is the past, alhamdulillah. It's about how you end. When the past calls, send it to voicemail. It's got nothing new to say. Honestly, it's got nothing new to say. What's it going to tell you? Don't let shaitan remind you of your past. When he reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. Where's he going? Hellfire. So that's how you should be. Outsmart him. And no matter how great a sin is that you fall into, no matter how great it is, the mercy of Allah is far greater. It'll outweigh it. So yeah, you never lose hope in the mercy of Allah. Your sins may be countless, but Allah's mercy is endless. Doesn't run out. So never despair. Repent today for a better tomorrow. Because you never know who's going to wake you up. It could be your family member, or it could be the angel of death. May Allah Ta'ala protect us. Amen. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Yeah, questions now, inshallah. Okay, we'll take hers. She had a hand up, inshallah. Then we'll take your sister. Yeah, there are. You know, in Jannah, as you have levels, darajat, in hellfire, there's darakat. They literally in levels. Yeah, darajat, darakat.
Oh, wow.
And because kufr is on different levels. The kufr of George Bush is not like the kufr of your neighbor. Right? George Bush is 10 times worse. Yeah, the kufr of Pharaoh is not like the kufr of Joe Blow down the street who's just, you know. At the end of the day, khalas, amruhu ilallah. He's with Allah now. Allah will judge him.
Oh, no, I'm talking about the new one.
Yeah, look, no doubt to rule by other than Allah's sharia is a form of kufr. May Allah protect us. And we shouldn't really get too involved with, you know, making takfir on people, as some of our brothers do. Unfortunately, you find a lot of brothers want to do that. You know, what's the point? It doesn't benefit you in this world or the hereafter. In terms of the hereafter, Allah's not going to put you in the judge and jury on the day of judgment. He's not going to say...
Sheikh was saying the same thing to us.
Honestly, yeah.
Getting it wrong.
No. Exactly. In fact, getting it wrong is actually coming back on you. Yeah. You know, Allah's not going to say, Sister Rana, should we put this person in paradise or hellfire? What do you think?
Yeah.
Allah's not going to ask us. So why are we so concerned about making takfir on people? And... this person's a kafir, this person's a kafir, this person's a kafir. As some people do. They're very quick to do that. I'm not talking about the kuffar, that's clear. But unfortunately, they're quick to do that with the Muslims.
Yeah.
And that's very dangerous. May Allah protect us. Yes, sister.
You know how you had on the recording of the angel how you've got 120 days of soul?
He's blown in, yep.
Before that, if there's mothers that have been, say, ill or, you know, how does that work?
Good question. If it's in the first 40 days, the first 40, can you abort? Now, if we go off the opinion that it's 40, 40, 40, then if it's in the first 40, can you abort? Okay, firstly, we say there's a difference of opinion. Some say yes, some say no. We're talking about abortion, firstly, without any reason. You just don't want... Firstly, let's go into that first. Can you abort? Yes or no?
No.
Some scholars said yes. Why? Because it hasn't reached the alaqa stage. The alaqa, we said, one of the definitions was a blood clot. The blood is the asas, the core and essence of the human. Therefore, that person hasn't has these essence yet. Therefore, there's no problem. You can remove. However, we say, no, this is the most correct opinion. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala says, فَجَعَلْنَاهُ فِي قَرَارٍ مَكِينٍ. We put it, this nutfa, in qararin makin, a secure, safe place. So who are we now to remove it from that safe place? We have no right to do so. So that's the most correct opinion. We're talking about, just for any reason you want to abort, we say no. Therefore, sisters, we said it's not allowed to abort 120 days, also not allowed to abort at 40 days. Generally speaking, we're talking about. Next time a sister asks you, are you allowed to abort in Islam? First answer should be no. That's your first answer. Not you're allowed to, except if you do 1, 2, 3. No, your first response should be no. Don't get involved in people trying to get abortions. This is unfortunately leads to a lot of haram. Especially if it reads 120 days, it's even worse to abort then. It's worse. But here, if a person aborts here, they still go against the Sharia. It's not as bad as 120 days. But we're not allowed to abort here either. Now, you may ask, what about complications? If there are doctors who are specialists in this field, and they know, they say 100% in the first 40 days that she will die and there are major complications, yes, in this case, only for the first 40, she's allowed to abort. Only for the first 40, she's allowed to abort if there are complications that are going to cause her death and so forth. But what about 120? If the doctors say she's going to die, we still said no. No in all cases. Why? Because if the woman dies, who killed her? Allah, it wasn't you. But if you deliberately abort, who killed it?
You did.
You killed the soul. And as we said, it's not allowed to kill a soul to save a soul.
So even if they say the child's going to have a disability but not die?
Not allowed either. No. That's right. Yeah, we're not allowed to abort either. And I know of a brother and a sister personally who they said this was going to happen and it didn't. The child came out fine. And I'm sure you know personal story. You know someone? There you go. They also said that to my wife. Because she has rheumatoid arthritis. Don't go... You know, before our first child, they said, you won't even be able to have one. We've got three now. So, Allahu Akbar. There you go. Yeah, alhamdulillah. So, therefore, we don't abort at any stage, except we said there's room for difference when? Which stage? First 40. If... Risk, major problems.